That
oh, my.
That was the secret. We forgot the code to get the thing recorded.
Right. And welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including Dungeons and Dragons.
Yay.
Whatever suits your fancy.
Oh,
and I got a text to Prepper Girl the code to get in, because I don't have it anymore. You sent it to me, I know. But it's still in that mass group of crap. And
the guest call-in number. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see if I can
Yeah, I got a day or two before the moon is empty, and when it's empty, I can't plant below-ground crops anymore, and I still need to get the land ready, and I need to go see Ray tomorrow, and I'm working, on Tuesday, and I have a feeling I'm going to miss it. Our beets and carrots are not going to get put in time.
You know what? I don't think
I hear
my Bluetooth
static.
I don't think my Bluetooth is compatible with my new phone.
Ouch.
Yeah, because everybody I've talked to so far goes I'm like, what the hell did they say?
I heard that from you a few seconds ago, actually.
So, yeah, I think it's me. I was doing it to my dad, and it was doing it to Prepper Girl. And you guys are pretty much the only people I've talked to since I got the new...
It's your fault.
It's my stupid phone. Crap. What's wrong with technology?
You did.
Better, not worse.
Well, you know, as the intelligent levels drop, the ability to produce things that at work drops.
True that.
So.
I hate this new phone, too. I can't do any. Well, you know, there are some features that are better, but for the most part, I hate it. It's not a slide phone, and I got to do this stupid keyboard on this stupid screen, and it's a stupid phone. Before, I used to be able to do, like, a shift and delete, and delete a whole line. Now I got to delete every character one by one.
What if you hold the delete key? Does it do a whole word?
Oh, let me try that. Oh, holy crap. It's going in high speed now. All right.
Oh, that could be too quick.
I know, right? Yep, it was too quick. Damn it. Now I gotta paste and start over. Stupid phone. Alright, I'll slow down when I get close. Where am I? Okay, here we go.
Well, I'm sitting at Woods.
I'm talking about where am I on the phone.
I know what's going on.
Okay.
It looks like a ballerina.
What is... Oh, dang it. I did it again. Scheiße. Stupid phone. It's not the phone. It's the nut behind the wheel.
It's the operator.
Driver error. All right, I'm getting close. I'm not even going to risk it this time. Prepper Girl. Okay. Try not to mess this up again. Come on.
Hey, this is weird. My BitTorrents are working fine on the laptop, but I can't get on any websites. Okay, according to this, my Firefox is up to date. You must turn your Bluetooth on again because I hear static. Actually, when you did that, it triggered it to do it. That might make for an interesting recording.
Yeah. What is Department of Highway Robbery doing?
Robbing
probably
somebody.
Pulling, yeah. They got an innocent bystander pulled over and giving them a citation.
Right.
For a crime they probably did not commit.
For a crime that isn't a crime.
Right. There we go. Now I can copy this. Do and put it on Facebook.
So, what I'm trying to do now... crap. No, I don't want to install any pieces of software.
Department of Highway Robbery. Ah, son of a biscuit. Oh, cool.
They're after you now.
No. Next. Skip. Oh, wait a minute. Location. DD&D. Post. That's one cool thing about this new Facebook whatever bullcrap. Even though I'm not anywhere near the property, it remembers that that was one of the places that I posted from.
Cool.
And so it allows me to post from there, even though I'm not there. So when I'm doing something that's DD&D oriented, I can still say that we're at DD&D when I'm not actually there. You are, though.
Huh. Yeah, I sort of am.
Wah, wah, wah. So, okay. For anyone who may have listened to the last two podcasts, which I seriously doubt, I have to follow up on something that I was talking about, because the one time that I called in and you didn't, I pretty
yes.
much did the full 2 hours on astrology. And
a monologue of monologues.
Yeah, pretty much. And then before you called in last time, I briefed on it. So I'm going to brief on it again. Basically, I've been studying lately the difference between Eastern and Western astrology. And the Eastern interpretations and Western interpretations are pretty much the same. There's a few variations, but they're pretty
much
the same.
Okay, you're going to slow down because you're doing it again. Yeah.
Okay. The difference between Eastern and Western astrology is not a whole lot. The interpretations are almost the same. You know, like the interpretations for Leo or Mercury in Leo, Mercury in Virgo, Moon in Libra, all those are pretty much the same. Okay. How they go about comparing different aspects are a little bit different, or they take different routes and analyzing a chart, but the interpretations are almost exact. The difference between Eastern and Western astrology charts is they are about 21 degrees off. Eastern astrology, yeah, Eastern astrology is, and there's a word for it. It's called, not synastry, but it starts with an S. If you're using an Eastern chart method, then basically what they're doing is they're using the same chart as astronomers use to figure out where planets are in the sky, their exact location. The Western astrology, which is also called tropical zodiac, gives it from our perspective on Earth, how the stars affect us on Earth, not us looking at the stars from Earth. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just doing that. Yeah.
Baka. Okay.
You're doing that. So, it seems like all the words are coming through, but in between your words, you get a lot of that weird stuff, and I have to sit there and wait for...
Okay. So, Eastern astrology is good for marking things like the age of Aquarius. And it's good for example, if you're doing daily astrology, how the stars are affecting the Earth today, then you would want to do Eastern astrology. But if you want to know how the stars are affecting us as people, as our birth charts, how it determines our instincts, you would want to go with the Western or tropical zodiac.
Okay.
Because a lot of Vedic astrologers have converted zodiac and it works better for them. And then if they're going to do predictions on how things are going to affect you today, you know, how the stars are going to affect your chart today, then they compare your chart as you were born with the Eastern zodiac for the day. So if you're going to do past, present, and future predictions, you use Eastern astrology. If you're going to do relationship compatibility and where the person is, how the stars are affecting the person, you do Western astrology.
Okay.
And Chinese astrology is based on the Eastern method. It's based on where the planets are actually in the sky, not how they affect us as we were born. You know, I was saying before that the Chinese astrology is off by a month. That's why. It's 21 degrees off.
Yeah, almost a month.
Almost a month. It is going by the Eastern zodiac, which was here before we started doing the Western zodiac. Or the tropical zodiac. The tropical zodiac didn't exist back then. So the tropical zodiac is more of a updated version of the old school. Before I used to do this, I'm like, well, no, I want to do traditional. I want to be traditional. And so I've been studying Vedic astrologers who are hardcore about tradition. And I've been studying my own chart. And my Western chart makes more sense than my Eastern chart. There is stuff that makes sense in my Eastern chart, but it's not all there. It's like only maybe 50% is accurate, where on my Western chart, like 90% is accurate. And so, but I got a couple people that I sent the both interpretations to, and they're supposed to get back with me to let me know which one's more accurate. But that is basically the difference between Eastern and Western astrology. If you're going to do like relationship compatibility, which is pretty much what I do, you do Western,
right.
The tropical zodiac. And if you're going to do past, present, and future astrology, then you do Eastern. And I forgot what it's called. But it starts with an S. Now there's another one. The Draconic Zodiac. I have no idea what that one's about. But it's on my to-do list to learn. No. I actually have it in a tab. A whole list of stuff, you know, that I've got read, you know, in tabs that I'm going to be going to next to learn about. But right now I'm learning about the difference between Eastern and Western and why Vedic astrologers are or are not using the tropical zodiac versus their traditional Eastern zodiac. And that's why and then there's other things, too. You have equal house house systems. You have house systems. There's like a dozen house systems. And I don't know what the differences are between them either, but Placidius is the one that using. Placidius?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the one I was using, but I found out that it is not, it's accurate, but it's not accurate for everyone globally. It's only accurate for certain continents, so I quit using that one. Because if somebody's born in a continent that is not applicable and I'm doing their astrology, well, then that doesn't work. So I got to make sure I'm using the one that works for everybody. And so I switched to, I forgot what that one was called. But there's three that I'm analyzing because there's an argument on still which three are the best. But for the most part, I'm using right now one of those three while I'm still studying to find out which one is the better of the three. Out of the dozen. Yeah, there's so many types of astrology, and there's so many different ways of using astrology. So like I said, if you're doing past, present, and future astrology, you want to use the Eastern stuff. And if you're doing relationship, then you want to do tropical, Western. But then draconic is something different. And then if you're doing other things like weather or like the Farmer's Almanac, it may be using a different form of astrology. I haven't got that far yet. And then you have medical astrology. They may use that. That may be where the draconic comes in. It's medical astrology. I have no idea. So, yeah, each different type of astrology or zodiacs are designed for different types of astrologers. Because I know that you use a different type of astrology than they don't do synastry. You know, so if you're doing synastry, you want to do tropical, Western. And you can do Vedic astrology interpretation.
Yeah, I'll put that up later.
You want it, but you want to use the tropical zodiac. So, yeah.
Yep.
So, no, whenever people are doing daily horoscopes here in the U.S., they're doing it wrong because they're doing using Western astrology, not Eastern.
I'm giving this poor kid a hard time. He's trying to figure out how to sweep this floor around me.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to D&D Podcast, MintedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Hello. Hey, guys.
How are you doing?
Good. What's that shut-off code again?
Oh, *6.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, so you just want to listen.
I'm just coming to shut off.
Yeah.
What's the combo about tonight? What?
Well, I just got done doing a blurb on astrology because I wanted to finish up where I left off on my last podcast. What I was saying was that, long of the short, when I first started learning the astrology from the idiot that I was learning it from, he was telling everybody that he was doing Eastern astrology when he was actually doing Western astrology. And, of course, he was doing other things that he was, you know, he was lying and manipulating and blah, blah, blah. But anyways, so I've been trying to learn Eastern astrology because I wanted to be more traditional. And I was getting all messed up and I was confused. And now I'm finally figuring it out and finally making sense of the difference between Eastern and Western astrology. You remember the last time you were on the podcast, I said that the Chinese astrology was off by a month. Well, it is if you're using Western astrology. The Chinese astrology is using the Eastern astrology, not Western astrology. Eastern and Western astrology is 21 degrees off, 21 days off. And the difference is Eastern astrology is using the, I forgot what it's called now, but it's the zodiac that the astronomers use. And that's how the three wise men were able to pinpoint where Jesus was born. They were able to predict the future using the stars. You use Eastern astrology to do past, present, and future. You know, psychic astrology is using Eastern astrology. Western astrology is for relationships, relationship compatibility, because Western astrology is, you know, is based on where we were born on the earth, not where the stars are, but where the stars are when we were born at the time and location of our birth. So we do our astrology and our relationship astrology using Western astrology. And then we do our past, present, and future astrology using Eastern. So these daily horoscopes that we get in the newspaper, they're all wrong because they're using Western astrology, not Eastern. On Eastern astrology, I'm a Leo Cancer cusp. On Western astrology, I'm a Leo Virgo cusp. Now, technically, I'm not a Leo Cancer cusp. I'm a Leo Virgo cusp because of where I was born and where the stars are, the tropical zodiac, the Western astrology, is accurate for my birth chart. Then, if I want to look at how today is going to affect my chart, I compare today's chart using Eastern astrology to my chart using Western astrology. Pretty wild.
Anything to be confusing, right?
Yeah, too confusing for me.
Right. And then there's draconic astrology, or the draconic zodiac, which I have no clue what that means. Because what that is, I'm a Sagittarius on that chart. I'm like, I'm not a Sagittarius, I guess. I don't know. But I compared my astrology using Eastern and Western. And my Western astrology is more accurate than my Eastern astrology. So, but I'll have to send you guys yours, and you guys will have to read both of them and let me know which one is more accurate to you when you're supposedly born, according to David Ray. Your alleged birthday.
My alleged birth date.
but yeah, so the Farmer's Almanac is using a kind of astrology, probably Eastern, but I'm not sure. It's very good astronomy. And astronomy uses Eastern astrology. So, like, say, oh, another thing I was talking about was, like, the age of Aquarius, Eastern astrology marks the ages. So, and that's why it's always changing, by the way, too. For example, spring. Spring, right now, whenever, I don't remember how this works out exactly, but basically, according to the zodiac, when it is spring, right now, we are looking directly at the astrological configuration of Aquarius, and that is how we are in the age of Aquarius. Every spring, it is Aquarius, where, say, 2,000 years ago, in the spring, was Pisces, and so on and so forth. So it's gradually changing. Every 2,000 years, it changes. So 2,000 years ago, the tropical and the Western and Eastern astrology probably lined up. I have to go back and look. But they're talking about how today, there's a lot of things in Eastern astrology that don't make sense anymore because their chart changed. Because their chart's always changed.
What age are we in now?
Do what?
What age are we in now?
Oh, the age of Aquarius.
Aquarius.
Yeah. But it takes 2,000 years for it to change to the, you know, to this 21 degrees. So every, what is it, 10 years, it changed 10 degrees. So every, not 10 years, every 1,000 years. So every 100 years, it changes by 1 degree.
Yippee. Uh-huh.
So, and that's why the Eastern astrologers are having a difficult time using the Eastern Zodiac doing interpretations for people nowadays. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are converting to the Tropical Zodiac. A lot of them are going to Western Astrology.
Yeah.
Because they've updated it, because it's changed over the last 2,000 years. But they updated it to where it doesn't change, because it's doing it from the perspective of where we are on Earth in comparison to the stars, not where the stars are in comparison to us. So that way it don't change.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I'm not sure. But it's more accurate. The Western astrology is more accurate. And people kept telling me that, who do Western astrology, but they weren't explaining why. They weren't explaining how. Now I understand why and how, for the most part. Now I have no idea what draconic astrology is. And so that's my next field of study, is to figure out what draconic astrology is. Dracula's astrology.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is.
Back to life, back to reality. So, farming, the Farmer's Almanac, you were saying, David, that you had so many days to plant?
Yeah, it looks like I got a day or two until the moon is empty, and when it's empty, it's time to switch to above ground crops. So it doesn't look like I can get the carrots and beets in time.
Okay, we'll do it on the next...
Yeah, but they'll be out of sequence. They grow, you know, carrots and beets grow best when it's still cool.
True.
So.
It'll be almost in sequence instead of waiting till, like, next year or next 2 months.
Might as well catch them just before fall. So.
Or that. Wait till the next sequence.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to have another sequence this year.
Well, we're going to keep planting until stuff stops growing. That's all there is to it. So I've got about half my onions in the ground, and I've got the potatoes in the ground, and, you know. So as far as that goes, we're good. We've got a plowed up field. I've put the corner posts in their proper place for the garden, and I just need to stretch the wire around it. And I learned some things off of the neighbor when I was doing build fencing. When we stretch the fence tight, it's going to pull the fence posts out because they're just T-posts. So might not want to stretch them tight. Might want to put them loose.
You're talking about for our garden?
Yes, yeah. So I'm not going to use the fence stretcher on our garden. I you know, I'll pull it as tight as I can by hand, but that's not going to be very tight, because I don't want to pull the fence posts out of the corners. I'll brace them like I've done, but I you know.
I think I figured out my problem, why I was breaking
yep.
up all the time.
Good, because you don't sound like you're breaking up right now.
Yeah. I've been eating up my Wi-Fi using Wi-Fi calling.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I've been doing that for the last 2 hours.
Well, that's wonderful. Now that you've run out of Wi-Fi.
And yeah, well, good thing is it's about to roll over here in a couple of days.
Yeah, they'll probably charge you extra. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's so because I was on mute and I didn't realize it. I was going back to the fence thing. I was curious because I was dealing with the same situation over here. Is your
what
fence
situation?
The fence posts, are they cement?
Oh,
so
yes.
Cement, or are you using cement?
Well, we're using T-posts for the corner on the garden. because it's quick and it's easy. But if you put any tension on it, it's going to pull the T-post out.
Right, we're doing a temporary fencing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If we were doing
now,
a permanent, we would have done it right.
Yeah. Now, what I do, so you can put some tension against them, is I put in another T-post at a 45-degree angle and wire it to the corner. Now, if you want to give it some extra strength, then you put an anchor T-post outside of your fencing and run a wire from the top of your corner down to the base of that anchor. But, I mean, that's, you know, more stuff to walk into and whatever. And
how deep does the post go down, the corner post?
Do what?
How deep does it go?
About a foot and a half I put it down. I mean, it's a T-post. You put a T-post about a foot and a half into the ground. I suppose for extra strength I could pull it further. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I don't know where that yawn came from.
Wood? Are we talking metal or wood?
Yeah, T-posts are made out of metal.
Oh,
all right.
Metal, okay.
Yeah, they're not proper corner posts.
And they're not getting cemented in.
No.
Right.
No, this is just temporary fencing around the garden.
Right.
You know, someday when we...
You can pull it out.
Yeah, we're trying to...
Right.
Yeah, that's our plan at this point.
More environmental.
Well, yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, right. It's just temporary to keep, you know, animals from eating our food, you know.
Well, they can still
get
on the ground, right?
Once we get more set up on the land, we'll have permanent areas. Once we figure out where and how we want the permanent areas set up, we'll have permanent areas set up. But right now, this is just a temporary, you know, quick fix to get us going.
Right.
So,
how big of a area is it?
50 by 50.
That's good. That's real good.
50 by 50. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, and I did a horrible thing about 2 days ago. I had our field plowed.
With like a tiller?
With a plow.
No, 2,500 square feet.
You mean a rolling with wheelers? I mean, you mean
a plow that flips the soil over, which is number one big no-no. But, you know, I figure it's a one-time thing.
But we're not supposed to do it.
Yeah, it's not really a good idea. It allows your nutrients basically to evaporate into the air. It causes water to, you create an impermeable layer just below the level of the plow if you do it year after year after year, all right?
Right,
you,
it's good to do once in a blue moon.
You put the sod down below the soft, fluffy stuff and the soft, fluffy stuff up in the air.
Right.
You stop the wicking action of moisture coming up from below.
Right.
You know, so I really need to go through. Yeah, so in, you know, if you do it over and over and over again, you end up with this thing called hard pan about a foot and a half down. And then nothing passes through. You get no water coming back up. You end up with flooding above it. You know, it's just bad news all the way. And so I don't feel too terribly bad because, you know, like I said, this is probably a one-time thing. You know, from here on out, we'll be maintaining the soil as best we can so that it itself fixes. And I came to the community, we really need to put down the cardboard and the mulch, you know, December, January. Yeah, in the fall.
Yeah.
As soon as the garden's over, you start putting it down. When the garden's over, start preparing your beds for the next year. And if that involves a little bit of digging, well, then do your little bit of digging. But if it's mostly just cover up the good, soft soil to keep the weeds from coming up, you know, you do that. I mean, the last thing you want is bare earth, and that's something else that tilling does. It gives you a whole bunch of bare earth. Sure, it helps kill weeds, but it also kills the life in the soil. Anyway, so anyway, Bill was very impressed when he saw it. He says, wow, you've got some really beautiful black earth. So
that's because I haven't been plowed in a year.
And been plowed in about 3 years from what I can tell.
No, could be. Prepper Girl.
I think we lost the caller.
Yeah, Prepper Girl's phone died. She just texted me. I think she was calling from the landline. And so she texted me that her phone died or something. I don't know.
Right.
Oh, because she's got a cordless. That's why. She hates talking on the phone. Yeah, she hates talking on the cell phone. She talks on the landline.
Right, but it's a cordless landline.
Correct.
Which, in all honesty, has all the same radiation problems.
That's not why she doesn't like the cell phone. She just doesn't like the cell phone.
Okay. Just, all right.
But anyway, it's all good. Okay, so, why did you turn the soil then?
To soften it. To make it easier for us to get it ready to plant in. So if all that's bad, why did I do it anyway? To soften the soil so I can get it planted in more quickly. To kill the weeds so I can get it planted in more quickly. In other words, plan ahead and you don't have to do destructive things.
True. Okay, what we did with the potato fork, couldn't you have just done that and plant the seeds in the holes?
Sort of.
That's what
I would have
done.
It left all the weeds alive still. What we could have done that was better, and I think we should do this because, you know, obviously we've got at least one friend who is willing to let us use his tractor or will come over and run his tractor on our behalf, is we get a hold of a disc and or a harrow, whatever you want to call it. And there is a type of plow that's actually good for the soil. It strafes the land to any number of depths. And they've got one that has a ratcheting plow that will literally cut through stone. But
how much is that?
I don't know. I'm not even sure exactly what it's called, but what it does is it doesn't flip the soil. It just cuts grooves. That's all it does. It does a lot like what we do with the potato fork, except it does it behind a tractor.
Kind of like what the Amish do behind a horse.
I think they actually use a plow.
Oh, yeah, like the big V-shaped thingy.
Yeah. The V-shaped thingy flips the soil over, and that's the problem with it, is the soil flipping.
Oh, okay. So
you don't really want
to
flip the soil.
Cold in the ground.
Yeah, it just cuts lines in the ground to whatever depth, and it's pretty neat. And there's two types. There's one that just cuts the hole through the ground, and if it hits a rock, you got to raise it up and go around the rock. But there's another one that it's designed, it can literally go through a road.
Okay, let's get that one, because then we can break up the rocks.
Yeah. Yep. And it goes through, and basically what it does is it aerates the soil, allows water to penetrate real deep, and doesn't shift the layers, which will allow, things like your mushrooms and stuff like that to recover quicker.
Okay. So, how much that is, and add it to the shopping
cart. I have no idea. I have no idea.
No, I said find out how much and add it to the shopping list.
Okay. Oh,
you're almost done paying child support, and I'm going to change jobs soon where they're going to pay me better.
Right.
I'll have more money. I can afford to start actually being more productive in the near future.
Right.
So, and we also need to look at once I start making more money, getting a tractor? Or can your mules pull that?
Yeah, whatever it takes to pull it.
Can the mules do it? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. The one that will chisel through rock probably requires a PTO. So unless you have some way of hooking up a rotating device to a mule's rear end, I don't think so.
Well, that could possibly be arranged.
Okay, Bessie, we're feeding you beans.
Right.
We need that thing to rotate fast.
No more carrots for you. Okay, so we'll have to get a tractor, which is fine. We can do that.
Yeah.
Tractors are what, a couple grand?
Yes and no. That, if you get lucky, you can find one for about $2,000. I got really lucky. I found one for $1,000, but I didn't have it at the time, and so Ian bought it.
Okay, so a few thousand.
Yeah.
If I change jobs, which I plan on doing, I just got to make sure I do homework before I make the decision to do it. If I change jobs, I'll be making an extra grand a month. That'll give us, by next year, I'll have the money. And then by October, I'll be done paying child support on my oldest. That'll give me an extra $500 a month. So then I'll be making an extra $1,500 a month by next year. So we should be able to afford one by next year.
There you go. Yeah, and if we get any degree of success and people are curious about how we're doing what, where, when, and why, then we'll be able to sell what we're doing.
Right, and that's where our retreat will come in.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll teach people and we'll do it for them, whichever they prefer. If they don't have time to learn, we'll just do it for them. If they want to learn, then we'll teach them.
Well, yeah, the locals, they can come and learn, or we can go do it for them. But if they're long distance, then they'll come and learn. They'll stay on the land, and they'll come and enjoy the retreat, and they can learn what we do and how we do it. Either by hands-on, depending on when they come to stay, or, you know, by us just showing them what we do.
Yeah. Yep.
And then it'll be cool to start doing more, like, of the experiments on creating our own electricity, too, once we get a little bit more developed.
Yeah, that's one thing. If we sink a well, how are we going to get water out of the well? You know, if we don't have enough electricity to pull that off, you know.
Windmill.
Yeah. I'm thinking two donkeys on a big wheel.
That too. Have them
turning.
To pump it into our above ground reservoir.
Yeah, we, you know. Keep an eye out for, you know, figure out how the pumps work in the first place. And you know, we hit the salvage yard and pick up whatever is available.
Well, by
you
then,
know?
By next year also, I may have the money to drill. And actually, that's one of the first things we need to do is drill for water.
Right. You know, and you know, if we can come up with a pump that will work off of 12, 24 volts or 48 volts, that'd be great because then we could put it on the system. And then when there's enough juice in the system, we just pump water up. As a matter
right.
of fact, that'd be an excellent dummy load. Anytime you have extra electricity and no place to dump it into the motor that pumps the water out of the ground.
There you go.
You know? And in the wintertime, you dump it into a heater that melts the ice so the animals can come and drink.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, because, you know, every system has to have a dummy load.
And we can run heaters underneath the road and dummy load up that, too. melt the snow in our driveways.
Yeah.
If there is.
Yeah, I wouldn't do. I really, we're in Missouri. I wouldn't worry really about that. You know,
I'm
I think the most
kidding.
Effective dummy load would be to pump water out. You know, basically
well,
get a good pump. And basically get a good pump that can tolerate being, you know. Well, yeah, you know, you heat the ground underneath your animals or something, or underneath the house. You know, bring it up
right.
to temperature. So you know.
Well, we're
in
not gonna have to worry about our. We're not gonna have to worry about our roads anyways, because our roads aren't gonna be paved. It's all gonna be rock and gravel. So
yeah, they
drive on.
It ain't like we're gonna slide downhill.
Right.
Yeah. We don't have that much of a slope.
It's all going to be rock and gravel, so once you drive on it a couple times, it'll break, you know, squish it down and break it up, and then it'll melt away from the sun.
Yeah.
Because that's how I used to melt my house in Independence. That's how I plowed my driveway. It was all gravel, so I just put my truck in four-wheel drive, drove all over the driveway until it was all squished down, and then the sun melted it away.
Yep. Well, this is really weird. I'm sitting at Woods on the internet, and I've got good connection. I mean, I'm pulling in between 60 and 40 kilobytes per second with my BitTorrents. But I can't go to any websites on any of my browsers.
Interesting.
Yep. But my little toy allows me to cruise the internet, so it's, you know, I don't know what to say.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I should have shut down already. It's already 9 o'clock out here. I'm probably going to have trouble finding parking. What's
That's,
the
yeah.
internet here? 2G.
Well, one of the things I'm trying to achieve tonight is I'm trying to get the rest of the videos for the permaculture design course. And yeah.
Permaculture. So what kind of perm is a permaculture?
Funny, funny.
I mean, I've never gotten a perm before, I don't think. So I've never heard of a perm, a culture.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's
uh-huh.
being a pet, yeah, permaculture. Because it's culture or agriculture, and it's a perm.
Still there?
No.
Okay.
I'm going through the Indiana tow booth. I gotta focus and make sure I drive as slow as possible. Otherwise, it will
That's
screw
right.
up.
Cut it out. Oh, I hate it when it does stupid things.
Well, at least
Cut
my phone's not going kick, 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 anymore.
No, but this thing wants me to do a search engine, and I don't want to do a search engine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've got... the hash of this torrent, but the software on my device doesn't accept the hash. I've got another piece of software on the computer that will.
but I have to type it in manually because I can't go out on the web on the device that will accept the hash. If I don't type it exactly, I won't know what the heck I'm asking for. All right, let's see if I got this. Well, duh. URL format error. No, I don't want to make a torrent. Just gave it a torrent hash, and it doesn't. Okay, this is fine. Not really. Frustrating. So, yeah. I hear dead air. That doesn't work for a podcast. So what do we talk about? I'm thinking you're gone.
Hello. Hello.